The title of the message today is from Maniac to Missionary. And start with, who can be a missionary? You know, can the golden boy or girl that does great in church, great in Sunday school, can they grow up and be a missionary? Yeah. Well, sure, of course they can. What about someone who's broken? Someone who doesn't believe in himself or herself. Someone who knows they have been a slave to sin. Someone who has lost everything, lost their friends, their family, their way to make a living. Could they become a missionary someday? Yeah, okay. Today we're going to follow Jesus. When we left off with him in Mark chapter 4, they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, and there was that big storm, and then Jesus shocked the disciples by, they had to wake him up, and he rebuked the wind and calmed the sea, just at his words. But now we're in Mark chapter 5. So Jesus, verse 1. Jesus and his disciples arrived at the other side of the Sea of Galilee in the territory of Gerasa. As soon as Jesus got out of the boat, he was met by a man who came out of the burial caves there. This man had an evil spirit in him, and he lived among the tombs, and nobody could keep him chained up anymore. All right, so this guy, this man that met Jesus, he had an evil spirit, and you might wonder, well, just how evil was the spirit? Just how bad off was the man? So verse 4, many times his feet and his hands had been chained, but every time he broke the chains and smashed the irons on his feet, he was too strong for anyone to control him. Day and night he wandered among the tombs, and also through the hills, screaming and cutting himself with stones. So, how bad off was he? I guess he was pretty bad off. We know, you know, sometimes with drugs, people can have surprising strength and stuff. Ripping handcuffs and shackles off, screaming day and night and cutting himself. This guy was really messed up. If we look over at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, he reports the man, or men, Matthew says there were two guys, they were so violent, nobody went anywhere near there. And Luke says, also in chapter 8, that the man was naked. They couldn't keep clothes on him. He just kind of did what he wanted. And it had been a long time since they'd been able to keep clothes on him. He was not the kind of guy you'd want running around, skulking around your neighborhood, was he? Let's read on about Jesus meeting with this man, because this man seems to be the reason Jesus came there. Verse 6, he was some distance away when he saw Jesus, so he ran and fell on his knees before him. Some of the different translations say bowed down, and some just say fell on his knees, and they weren't quite sure what his attitude was. But verse 7, and screamed in a loud voice, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you want with me? For God's sake, I beg you, do not punish me. He said this because Jesus was saying, evil spirit, come out of this man. So Jesus asked him, what is your name? And the man answered, my name is Mob. You can tell I'm using the Good News translation this morning, because all the others say legion. You know, a legion is a lot of Roman soldiers. And he kept begging Jesus not to send the evil spirits out of the region. And you might wonder, well, exactly how big was that mob? You might wonder why the demons begged and pleaded so much not to be cast out. And something Jesus said that's recorded over in Matthew 12:43 might help us understand why they didn't want out. Jesus said, when an evil spirit goes out of a person, it travels over dry country looking for a place to rest, and it cannot find one. If we read the next verse, it talks about the evil spirit tries to come back, and if it succeeds, it brings friends with it that are worse than it. So we don't know much about demons, what it's like for them when they're cast out. But yes, a dry and restless place seems to be the state. 11, there was a large herd of pigs nearby feeding on a hillside. So the spirits begged Jesus, send us to the pigs and let us go into them. Wonder if they thought, we'll be a rather unruly herd of pigs and cause all kinds of havoc. I don't know. He let them go, and the evil spirits went out of the man and entered the pigs, and the whole herd of about 2,000 pigs in all rushed down the side of the cliff into the lake and were drowned. How many demons did that guy have? At least 2,000 if you figure a minimum of one per pig, but a lot. And why did the pig suddenly stampede and die like that? Is that what the demons wanted? Or was it unexpected consequence that sent them out of this world after all? I don't really know. I don't think Scripture addresses that at all. But it sure scared the men there that tended the pigs. Verse 14, those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who'd been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now tell me, do fearful people usually make right choices? Yeah, you're right. No, people like you and me often make some pretty bad choices. We'll stay in a bad situation because we're afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of change and things we can't control. So the town folks come out. They see all this good stuff that's happened. Well, for the man, the maniac, as some of the translations call him, he's sitting there. He's dressed. He's in his right mind. And they said, of course, man, we need a healer like you around. No, they did not. Not at all. They were afraid, and they said, Dave's paraphrase here, spooky miracle man, you scare us, please go away. That's probably a pretty good paraphrase. Was that the right choice to make? To send the guy who can fix the worst of the worst away? And no, but when we're fearful, we often make bad choices. To some extent, for this community, they had a choice between prosperity with all the pigs and, some guys really in a bad way, or guy perfectly sane and a financial loss for some of them because of those pigs. And they chose, at that time, money over compassion for the man that had his life changed. Doing right doesn't always make you rich in money, but there are other riches, like a life without torment and grief from bad influences in our head, in our heart, in our lives. Now the man who is freed from bondage that day, the former maniac, as some translations call him, he wanted to be with Jesus, and I don't blame him. You know, there's a tendency for all of us when something really good happens, we want to stay on that mountaintop experience. We want to stay at that Camp Jubilee with the other teenagers and all these different things. But usually you can't stay there. And in fact, Jesus had a job for him to do. He wanted him to be a witness. He wanted him to be a missionary to his home and to his people. So verse 18, Jesus was getting in the boat. That's the only reason he came. The man who had the demons begged to him, "Let me go with you." But Jesus would not let him. Instead, he told him, "Go back to your home and your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what kind and how kind he has been to you." It's incredible. This man, just a babe in Christ, was already sent to be a witness to all that Jesus had done for him. Do you think anybody would listen to his testimony? I would think so too. Assuming they could recognize him. "You're that guy?" Do you think he did more than just talk to his family? Yeah, he spoke to a lot of people. Verse 20 says, "So the man left and went all through the 10 towns telling what Jesus had done for him." Other translations say, "all through the Decapolis." Deca, meaning 10, and polis, meaning town. In the area of the 10 Greek cities over there. Telling what Jesus had done for him, and all who heard it were amazed. In one moment, Jesus had changed this man from maniac to missionary. What was the results? When Jesus returned, we'll see that in Mark chapter 7, the people were more receptive, and they brought sick to him. How many? So that's as far as the scriptures go, but how many truths about Jesus could we find in here? John Piper listed 7. I've got 6 of them. The demons, they knew who Jesus was. There was no doubt. We can see that in verse 7 when the demon-possessed man said, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" I find it surprising that the demon didn't, since it said he saw him from a ways off, he didn't just run the other way. I think he kind of knew that Jesus' authority was such that that wouldn't have helped. Jesus would have called him over. The second, the demons knew Jesus' absolute power over them, and they can't determine where they get to go, which explains all the begging and the pleading for permission to go into the pigs. The demons know that in the future, they're going to face final judgment and condemnation. And they're worried, are you going to start punishing us now? And the book of Revelations, of course, gives us a lot of those details about the final judgment. The herd of pigs nearby kind of suggests, this wasn't a Jewish community. It was part of the Decalogue, the 10 Greek nations, cities there. And so, and Jesus mostly worked with the Jews, but there was the Syrophoenician woman that he worked with, and he worked with the Samaritans. And in Easter week, I think Philip comes to him and says, hey, got some Greeks that want to talk to you. And he was fine with that. It's kind of how there's some hinting that Jesus' message was more than just something for the Jews. There seems to be a lot of running. It seemed to me that way anyways. You know, the demonic ran to Jesus and confronted him loudly. The pigs ran into the sea. The herdsmen ran into town. But they did more reporting of what Jesus had done with the man than about the pigs. And the town people, you could say, well, they nearly ran Jesus off. Afraid. Many are afraid of God, afraid to talk to God. Many people who haven't come into church like you have today, it's kind of a scary thing to come into church. And people will react like Peter when they start to see evidence in their life that God is real and stuff. Peter, after the miraculous catch of fish, he went on his knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. But sometimes when we feel like running most, the best thing to do is to stay and let Jesus do his thing. Only Jesus can heal and cleanse so completely. Thinking now about who can be a missionary or a minister, Bill Bright told the story about D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody is a young man growing up in Chicago. When his dad was 41, he passed away. And they said the creditors came and they took everything they could, even the firewood. They had nine. He was one of nine children in the family. And when he was 17, he started working in a shoe store, selling shoes, and was doing good at that. And his Sunday school teacher visited him and in a back room of the shoe store, led him to Christ. And he heard one man say, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man who is totally surrendered to him. And D.L. Moody said, I want to be that kind of man. And so one of the interesting things, the church he went to had rented pews. That's how the church raised its money. You would rent the pew for the month. So he took some of his shoe money or whatever job he had at the time. He started renting pews and inviting everyone that was willing to come and fill the pews that he rented. But pretty soon that wasn't enough, and he wanted to preach. And the first time he preached, one of the deacons assured him that, in his opinion, Moody would serve God best by keeping still. I think he meant, you know, by shutting up. And another critic said, you know, Moody, you've got great zeal. But he pleaded with him, saying that he should realize his limitations and not attempt to speak publicly again. You make too many mistakes in grammar. Moody patiently made this reply to the man. I know I make mistakes and I lack many things, but I do the best I can with what I've got. Then he quietly looked at the man and searchingly inquired, look here, friend, you've got grammar enough. What are you doing with it for the master? God is looking for people today who will decide to take what they have and totally commit it to be used for the master. Perhaps he has plans for you and me, people in this room. How is your life compared to the wild man? Can God deliver you from power of sin? Has he done it in the past? Or is there something he needs to deliver you from now? Bad habits, bad choices. From fears and insecurities, I've had my share of those and many other things. Yes, he can and he will if you turn your life over to him more and more.
Excuse me. Let's pray. Father,